I are blessed to be a blessing to others that we come in contact with. And I thank God today. If you would stand with me across the building today, because we're going to read Galatians 2 and 20 as we read every Sunday morning. So let's read that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today. It is good that we can come today as a body of believers and to know that God is with us today. It is good that we can come together and know that God is for us, He's not against us, and that He's going to strengthen us as well. I meant to mention this last week, but it was just about a couple of weeks ago, our bishop, our former bishop of South Carolina of our organization, has passed away. He lived in Elizabeth, Kentucky, and I hated to hear that he had passed away, but he was the one that appointed me to this church over 27 years ago. And so he has gone on to be with the Lord, but loved him dearly and his family and thought so much of him. And in my younger days of ministry, he thought so much of me to become the senior pastor here at this church. And so a good soldier for the Lord, and he definitely fought a good fight, and that's what we're to do. We're to continue on when others may go before us in the Lord with age, and we know that we're all getting older every day. And my mother always told me, she said, "Son, if you want to stay young, you'll have to die young, because everybody's getting older." And that is so true. Everybody is getting older. As long as you live, we all get older. But the good thing about it is the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where we're at in age, no matter where we're at in our old age, God is renewing us every day. He's renewing us. He's not an old God. He's a brand new God, a God to you and I. For old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I like to add that word, brand new. I don't know about you, but I like brand new things. I know some of us don't like old things. We like brand new things. Well, your pastor likes brand new things as well. And so, but God gives unto us brand new things, because that's a God that we truly, truly love. So if you would, if you've got your Bibles, hold them up high, the sword of the Spirit. I know there'll be those that are watching us today. Thank you for clicking on today. My prayers are something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. I've got a series that I am doing, and we are in the second part of my series, God's Design. God's Design. God's Design for you. God's Design for me. Sermon number 2, I started this last week. If you missed it, you can go on our website to www.vfclexington.org. I'll get it out. And you can click into the media center, and you can actually see that as well. You can also see, hear it through Spotify as well. And so this is God's Design series, and my title today of my message will be How to Pray for Those We Love. How to pray for those that we love, those that we love. And so we're going to look at this a little bit as we go into the Apostle Paul's writings, and we'll be in the book of Colossians. How many has read the book of Colossians? If you're great, some of you are already there. That's right, it's not but a few chapters, so it's not a big book to read, But it's really good to go through that right quick to see that as well. But we're going to look at the Apostle Paul and his writings. And we're going to look at Colossians, if you'll go with me, to Colossians, the first chapter, starting with the 9th verse. 1 Colossians 9. 1 Colossians, 1 Colossians, the first chapter. 1 Colossians, well, actually the first chapter of Colossians, and we're going to look at the 9th verse here, okay? Chapter 1, verse 9. I'll get it out again. Chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at this again. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now let me read this again. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all the wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Can I hear an amen, amen to God's word? Paul's deep love for the Colossians, and this is for the Christians at the church at Colossae. He felt close to them even from a distance because Paul is in prison. So I want you to see this with me. He rejoiced in their faith, hope, and love, and Paul shares his prayer for those whom he loved. It is easy to say, I'll be praying for you. Paul was specific, telling them how he prayed. Now, when you read this passage, it sounds like the church at Colossae of the Colossians are praying for the Apostle Paul. But it is the total opposite. It is Paul in prison praying for the church. For he says, for this reason, he's not the only one. I guess what? He's got the Father, he's got the Son, he's got the Holy Spirit with him there in prison. For he says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, he wasn't the only one. Jesus heard it, God heard it, the Holy Spirit heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He's not alone. He's got God with him praying for a church while he's in prison. Now let me ask you this. Would you be praying for a church while you're in prison? Would you be praying for your neighbor while you're in prison? I think some of us probably would get some mad and frustrated that why are we here in prison? Why am I in here with situations going on? Would our minds be on God? Paul still had his mind on God. It doesn't matter, you've heard me say this, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It never changes your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be dealing with a crisis. You might be dealing with things upside down. You might be dealing with stuff physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally. You may be going through something, but it does not change your relationship. This did not change the Apostle Paul's relationship because it was intact, because he knew who his Redeemer was. He knew who his God was. He didn't look to the left. He didn't look to the right. He didn't look to the gossip. He didn't look to the situation, but he looked to God. He looked to the cross, and the cross began to comfort him to know that God had had him there for a reason. He had him there for a purpose. He had him there for a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a destiny for you. It's not for you to look to the left nor to the right, but to look to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, no matter what's going on around me, no matter what my circumstance looks like, I will trust in you, Lord. I will look to the cross. I will look because you have victory. I have victory in Christ Jesus. Listen, Paul said, he says, I do not cease from praying for you. Don't worry about me in prison. Don't worry about what's going on. God's got this. God's handling this. I'm serving God. I'm going to not denounce God. I'm going to announce that God is God. He says, for I'm going to pray that you may be filled, the church, be filled with knowledge of His will. Not your will, not what you're wanting to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, where you want to do it. Paul says, I'm going to pray for you that you understand whatever you're going through, keep Christ in the center of your heart and life. Let the naysayers say what they want to say, be what they want to be, go where they want to go, do what they want to do. You stay focused in on God, the Creator that has created you to do and have His perfect will in your life. He says, I'm praying for the wisdom and the knowledge that you will have spiritual understanding. In other words, that you're not just a baby in Christ, that you're growing in grace, you're growing in mercy, you're growing in favor with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you understand that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. The Apostle Paul was pleasing God Almighty while he was in prison and while he was in his circumstance. Fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. Being fruitful. Pastor, what is being fruitful? It means being what God would want you to be and to show out what God has done for you. That's being fruitful by sharing with others, letting them know it doesn't matter what your circumstance looks like, the situation looks like, you're still focused in. We live in a world where it's small tunnel vision. We've got to broaden our horizon. We've got to broaden the vision that God's trying to share with us. We can't let people get us down. We can't let people upset us. We can't let people try to bring us down. We've got to move on. You've got to move forward in God. You've got to have that victory that Jesus Christ is wanting to give to you so that you can still stand the enemy and you can still fight the good fight of faith as a soldier of the cross and a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, that you don't give in, give up, or give out, but you begin to fully surrender to God's authority, saying, God, you are Lord of all. If you're not Lord of all, you're not Lord at all. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He goes on and says, as I will pray, that you're strengthened with Almighty according to His glorious power. Not the Apostle Paul's power, but God's power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Listen, Paul shares his prayers for those whom he loved. He rejoiced in faith, he rejoiced in hope, he rejoiced in love. My first point today is this. Paul prayed that they would know God's will. Paul prayed that they would know God's will. Folks, we've got to know God's will. God has not left us on our own to navigate whatever we want to navigate in life. God is letting us know His will, not your will. Jesus said, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. And to know God's will is to know Him and make Him known. He goes on and says, for this reason, in Colossians 1 and 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would know His will. God is wanting to instruct us because He's got a plan. He's got not only a plan, but He's got a destiny. And the plan is for us to make sure we're right and moving right and also take others with us because God has a destiny. You say, well, Pastor, what's the destiny? Heaven is our destiny. Heaven will be our home. But until then, we can't. The old saying is, don't get the cart before the horse. We can't just throw our hands in the air and say, okay, well, I'm waiting for Him to come back and get us. No, we've got to work down here to do before He returns. And so we've got to understand His will in that we would do the work that He has called you and I to do. Every one of us have talents and abilities. Everyone is gifted. God has gifted us all in different things. Everybody can't do the same thing. Everybody's not the same thing. Lord, if there were a lot of Pastor Tims around, I don't know. I don't know if the world or this church could handle it. If there was all of my deacon, if it was just all of him, I don't think the church could handle all of him. But everybody comes in as peculiar people. God has chosen you of the royal priesthood, a great generation. He has selected us to do certain things in the body of Christ. That's what makes up the body. That's what makes up the body. We don't have 4 feet. We don't have 4 arms. We've got 2 arms and 2 legs. What does those 2 legs do? The 2 legs help us to walk. The 2 arms, what do? The 2 arms help us to move out with our arms and do work for the Lord. So clearly we need to understand that God is calling us to work together as a body of believers. Here's what he says as Paul prayed that they would know God's will. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Some of us can be filled with ourselves. And a lot of us get into ourself. What I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it. Everything is I, me, me, me. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that you would become a servant, as a bond servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I've come to serve others that I may see that you do the will of my Father. See how important this prayer was to Paul. He could have prayed that they would not be persecuted. He could have said, Lord God, help them not to be persecuted. He could have prayed that prayer. He could have prayed that they would prosper. Oh, that they would prosper, that they would do great, would they this and that. He could have prayed that they would gain political power. Oh, that they could be political with everything that they do. Listen, knowing God's will was more important than any of these things. It's more important than being persecuted. It's more important to gain political power. He says to know Him is to make Him known. Knowing God's will was more important. Knowing God's will, folks, is more important than what you gain in life and what you get in life. To know Him, knowing God, with what knowledge are you filled? What knowledge are you filled with today? What knowledge are you filled? The knowledge of the world's conditions? Are you filling yourself up with the conditions of the world? The knowledge of everything in the world of sports? Are you living for the sports? My Gamecocks lost last night to Alabama. They almost was able to take it back. But guess what? Roll Tide came in and Carolina lost. And how I hate it. Yet so close, but yet so far away for Alabama to Roll Tide. But you know what? Are we living for sports? Are we living for sports? The knowledge of how success in business that we are we doing that? How the knowledge of how to succeed in business, the knowledge that brings academic recognition, are we striving that that's all we want to do? Listen, no, college is great. All that's great. I don't knock any of that at all. All the movements that you make, whether it's military, whether it's business in the private sector, whatever it may be, those are all great. But am I allowing that to be the greatest thing in my life? No, I'm not allowing those things to be the greatest. What's the greatest? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the greatest thing. He has saved you over 2,000 years ago when He bled and died on a cross. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, you and I have victory on top of victory. And it doesn't matter what goes on in this world because Jesus Christ withstands it all and supersedes it all. That you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. He supersedes it all when He died on Calvary's cross so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. My question today is this: are you filled with the knowledge of God's will? Are you filled with the knowledge of God's will, or you're filling yourself with other things that are around you? My second point today is this. Paul prayed that they would know how to walk. Not only would they know the will of God, but they would know how to walk in the will of God. It's one thing to know about the will of God, but it's another thing as you begin to put action behind what the will is that you begin to walk in Christ Jesus. Paul prayed that they would walk. A lot of us can have all the knowledge. All of us can have all the ability, all the intellect. All that is good. But that's not getting to where we really need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ is asking us to do. A simple prayer, a simple faith, a simple salvation. Listen, because it is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, Colossians 1 and 10, for that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitful. Not being dead fruit, dried up fruit, fruit that's just no good, but being fruitful, being healthy, knowing that God has great and mighty things for you, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Walking worthy of the Lord doesn't mean that you just become that great saint, that you have no sin, that you just become this great person, that you're just untouchable. Walking worthy is that you're walking with not your intellect, not walking with your ability, but walking with Jesus Christ and His knowledge as we continue to step out in faith. For faith is the faith that saves you and I. You do not save yourself. I cannot save myself. I cannot save you. You cannot save me. But by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to Him as He is our saving grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by faith that you and I believe. Listen, spiritual understanding teaches how to walk worthy of the Lord. We gain spiritual understanding through prayer. This is how we get spiritual understanding. You get spiritual understanding through prayer. You cannot leave and walk through your life without prayer. You've got to communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ. We gain spiritual understanding through prayer. We gain spiritual. How do we walk? We walk through prayer. How do we gain spiritual understanding? We gain it through Bible study. That's why on Wednesday nights, I open it up for everybody to have midweek lift Bible study. And we come on Wednesday nights. Not only do we pray for the church, but we get into God's Word. We learn in God's Word. Iron sharpens iron. We're strengthened. If you're at a church, a Bible-believing church, a church that gets into the Word of God, if your pastor teaches the Word of God, that's where you need to be. You need to be in that church where the Bible is being taught, that the Word of God is being proclaimed, and that you're coming in with a body of believers that is what? That is positive, that is rejoicing in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to understand. We gain spiritual understanding through worship. So we gain spiritual understanding through prayer, we gain understanding through the study of the Word, and we gain understanding through worship. What is it meant by walking worthy of the Lord? It is to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. Oh, how easy it is for us to walk in the flesh. Oh, how easy it is to walk in our desires. How easy it is of what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, where I want to do it. That's walking in the flesh. We must walk worthy, not in the flesh, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And you shall not, look at this, when you walk in the Spirit, you, look at this as a command, you shall not. As the Ten Commandments says, I shall not, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. That same you shall not, look at this. This is the same in the Ten Commandments of you shall not. I say then, God's Word says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh when you're walking in the Spirit. Watch this with me. It is to walk in love. Not only do we walk in the Spirit, but we walk in love. Ephesians 5 and 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and gave Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God gave His one and only Son that we would understand what love is, that we would see what love is, that we would take the love of God by His Son, and that love was placed on a cross over 2,000 years ago, and the love was shed abroad to us all that we may know Him and make Him known through the love, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, through the Spirit. Listen. It is to walk as children of the light, not the children of darkness. The devil wants us to walk in darkness. He wants to keep you out of the loop of what's going on with God. He wants to darken you. He wants to alienate you. He wants to pull you out from the body of believers. He wants to pull you out from God's Spirit. He wants to pull you away from that and draw you in to something down a dark, long road. But it is for us as children. We are children of light. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were once darkness. You were darkness. But now you are light. Look at this. In the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Listen, I know at my house, if I don't turn my light switch on, I am going to stumble because it is black as, I mean, it's pitch black dark. And I forget sometimes. I think I can go through the dark thinking I can actually get around in the house, and I can't do it. And especially with my eyesight, the older I get, my eye doctor, I had my eyes checked this week or a couple of weeks ago, and she said, just want to let you know, you don't have it, but you're slightly developing cataracts. I said, really? And she said, yeah. And I'm thinking, like, I'm getting that old? I'm getting that. Nah, man, I shouldn't be getting no cataracts. She said, well, I don't say you got it yet, but you're slowly, I hate that when they say slowly getting cataracts. But I know that when I don't turn the light on in my house, I cannot see. But when I flip the switch, now I begin to see. Why? Because the light has expelled, it has went through darkness, and now I can see. It's lit up. It's at the point now I can move around. That's the same way it is. God has given us the roadmap. He's giving us the Word of God. He is now lighting your path. He's lighting my path. That we cannot say that we can stay in darkness because we're children of light now. Darkness has gone. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come. He is the light of the world. And now we can walk in light. So there's no excuse that we don't have to walk in darkness anymore, folks. Just want to let you know that. Just want to remind you, you don't walk in darkness anymore. You're walking in light now. You walk in the light as He is in the light, so that you and I may have fellowship one with another, because we are in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we walk worthy of the Lord, others begin to notice because they know that you're not walking in darkness. They know there's something about you. They know that there's a change. Something has taken place. When we walk worthy of the Lord, we become fruitful in His work. When we walk worthy of the Lord, we become fruitful in His work. Third, in my closing today, Paul prayed that they would know God well. Paul prayed while he was in prison that he would know, that they would know God well. Paul knew God well. He knew Him so much that He struck Him on the road to Damascus. Because Paul was actually Saul, and God changed his name, but he was trying to kill out the Christians. He was persecuting the Christians. He was killing them out because he didn't want to have nothing to do with God. He didn't want anybody around him to have anything to do with God. But God got his attention and struck him on the road to Damascus. Blinded his sight and said, Paul, why do you go against the pricks? And Paul began to realize that what he was doing was wrong. And he began to change his ways. He began to repent. He began to ask the Lord into his heart and life. And guess what? He wrote majority of the epistles in the New Testament. Can you imagine? A murderer. A person that killed people. A person that persecuted people. And then he writes majority of the epistles of the New Testament. You see, God can do anything. And that, in that, he can do anything. In that, that he can turn people around. And all the energy of doing wrong in darkness, he can turn around into his marvelous light and change anybody from darkness to light. Let's look at this. Colossians 1 and 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God, not just in knowing about God, means knowing God more intimately. Knowing God more intimately, not just knowing of Him, but really knowing who He is. Okay? Increase in that knowledge. This is what Paul was seeking for even himself, that he would know Christ and Him crucified. Philippians 3 and 7, Paul says this, but what things were gained to me, he begins to describe himself, okay? Begins to describe himself. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All of what he was trying to do when he was going against Christ, what he was trying to achieve, what he was trying to get, what he was trying to receive, what he thought he was, and who I am, and how I will do it, when I'll do it, where I'll do it. He says, I have counted it loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellences of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, that I may gain, look at this, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him. Look at this. This is what he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already attained it or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And as he continues on, he says in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended anything, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead or which lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. He did not want to look what was behind him because he had done a lot of bad things. But he says, I'm pressing on to a higher call in Christ Jesus. In other words, it was going to be bullseye. He was going to hit the target. He was not going to look to the left, nor was he going to look to the right, nor was he going to be listening to the naysayers and all the complainers and all of this and all the gossip and all of that. He began to look to the cross, and he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I am looking to you because I'm not looking back, because there is a much bigger thing going on than just my own mind, my own heart, my own body. It is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I'm looking forward that I may be the soldier that Jesus Christ has called us to be. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I press towards the goal. What is your goal today? There's a prize to receive. What's your goal today? What's your goal today? To know Him is to make Him known. Knowing God well should be our goal. Knowing Him well. How well do you know God? I'm going to ask that question today. You don't have to answer it out loud. How well do you know God today? How well do you know Him? How do you pray for those whom you love? Do your prayers center only on temporary things? Do you start praying because you're in a jam? Now, when you're not in a jam, maybe you don't pray. Or maybe you just